Are you thankful for the grace of God today, brothers and sisters? Amen. I sure am. Saved a wretch like me, I'll tell you what. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this beautiful day, this Lord's Day, this opportunity that we have to come into your presence, to worship you, to sing, to lift our voices in praise to you. We're just so blessed to be in America. We have the freedoms to do this, and I thank you for today. I thank you for everyone that could come. I pray, O God, that your Spirit would lead us and you would guide us and we would experience your grace all over again. We would be renewed in our spirit, connected with your Spirit. We would be washed and new, transformed by the renewing of our minds and that new creation that Paul talks about. God, I do lift up all these names on the prayer focus. I pray for them, each and every one, Father. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would comfort them. Some have just lost their loved ones again, and I pray that you would comfort them. And I pray that you would be with all of those that have lost their loved ones lately. Hold them, Father, close. Guard them and guide them. And there are many that are very sick. Father, we lift them up to you and ask for your divine intervention, healing, strength. But most of all, Father, we pray that they would know and feel and trust the peace of Jesus Christ. And so, God, I just lift up every name here and every family that's represented here in this church. And I just pray that your Spirit would do a work in each of our lives and draw us closer and closer to you. I pray for our city. I pray for our community. I pray for our nation. Father God, I pray for revival. Revival of the heart. Revival of the church. Do a work, O God, a Holy Spirit work. Revive us in the church and draw people unto yourself. Redeem the lost. Save souls. Transform, set captives free, Father God. We need you. We pray, O God, guide us this morning as we have come to worship you. Thank you for this time we have. Thank you for the songs about grace that we have already sung. Thank you for the teachers that will teach now and in the next hour. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you again that it's not as cold today as it has been. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the sun, S-O-N, Jesus our Lord. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. Oh, God, we've got so much to be thankful for. Thank you for your grace. Guide us as we have come to worship you this morning, Lord. Guide us by your Spirit. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Revive the church, I pray. It all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I tell you what, I'm getting awful close to 60, and I'm pretty sure I'm getting senile. We got to the second song this morning before I realized I didn't have my Bible, didn't have my notes, and a moment of panic set in, but then I realized at least I got it as far as the church, so I went back to my office and found it there. But that's not as bad as here. About 2 months ago, I was doing a funeral, and always, always, always before the funeral starts, I've got everything right here so I can escort the family in, and I can get them seated, and I can get up here and begin. But a couple months ago, all that formality stuff happened, and I got here, and the pulpit was empty. Momentary panic stepped in, and I got to thinking, okay, I know how we're going to start. I'm going to get us singing, and when we get to singing, I'm going to dash off and see if I can find my notes. So anyway, I think I'm slipping. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you. I saw a Facebook post, and if it's on Facebook, it must be true, right? I saw a Facebook post here the other day that describes my situation, I think, quite well. This Facebook post said, "I've done everything I could, I've prepared, and at 62, I should be able to retire. I should be able to retire fairly comfortably and live fairly comfortably for about 11 minutes. That describes my situation too, so I'm not quite there. Okay, now it's time. I set the stage a little bit to be lighthearted because what I have to say to us is not as light. And not that it's not good. I believe it's from the Lord. But it's good to laugh. And it's also good to get serious with Jesus, which we're going to do now. I've been talking about lukewarm discipleship off and on throughout this year. We've had a couple of other sermons tucked in here, which have been from our superintendent, which was very, very good. And we had communion last week, which was very necessary, and a healing service, which was very fun. But we're going to go back to this idea of lukewarm discipleship today. And the topic that I have is heavy. And so I want us to be listening, and I want us to be thinking, and I want us to be hearing from the Lord today more so than hearing from Jim. And so I've asked us when we started this series here some time ago, the question today in America must be answered of us in the church: who is Lord? I've asked us that. I've asked us to think about that. And we must answer that. We must be honest, we must be truthful, and we must come to grips with who is really Lord in my life. Now, we saw before, and I'll refer to it again today, in Luke 6:46, Jesus is the one that said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" He's saying that to would-be followers. Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say to do? That's what he asked of the church today. And so I ask us this morning, friends, are we following Jesus or are we following the world? We must ask ourselves that question because we can't do both. And I said to you, I think it was in the very first Lukewarm Discipleship, part one sermon, against that verse, against that backdrop, Glenn MacDonald, in his book, The Disciple-Making Church, said this: "How dare you Christians say to me, Lord, Lord, implying we are best friends, when your behavior proves we don't really even know each other?" Some of you will remember that. And so, in today's vernacular, which that is, but further, how dare we call ourselves Christian and Christ follower and continue to look like, live like, act like, talk like the world? That's what he's calling to our attention. In his book, Crazy Love, Francis Chan writes this, and I quote, it's a powerful statement, listen. Jesus' call to commitment is clear. He wants all or nothing. The thought of a person calling himself a Christian without being a devoted follower of Christ is absurd. End quote. Let that sink in for a moment, brothers and sisters. I've been letting it sink in since I read that book around Christmas time. The thought of Jim calling himself a Christian without being a devoted follower of Christ, and I don't mean just for an hour on Sunday. The thought of me or anybody else calling ourselves Christian and not being absolutely committed and devoted to Christ, says Chan, is absurd. And I think he's right. During his time when Francis Chan, he literally lived in different places around the world because he was trying to discern where would God have him do ministry next. And for a few months, Francis Chan lived in India. And he visited thousands of Christians there who had been beaten, who had watched their relatives murdered, who had seen their churches burned down, their homes burned down, their families tore apart by persecution. He had seen it all. And at one point, he says, he went to the leaders of the church, and he said, and I quote, "Every believer seems so serious and so committed about Jesus. Aren't there people here who profess to be followers of Jesus but don't really follow him?" You get the flavor? Because he knows the attitude and the atmosphere in America. Saying I'm a Christian and not following. So he asked that of the leaders in India. Their reply: "Calling yourself a Christian means when you come to faith in Christ, you lose everything. Your family, your friends, they'll all reject you. You will lose your home. You may lose your status. You may lose your job. So why in the world would anyone choose to follow Christ unless he or she was serious about Jesus?" Do you see what he's saying, friends? When we make that step of faith, it is a commitment not just for an hour on Sunday morning. It is a commitment to follow Jesus Monday through Saturday, regardless of the cost. And that's what they're doing all over the globe. Then Pastor Francis Chan moved to China for a while. He said in the book, the highlights of the time in China was spending time with the underground church. They were training to be missionaries to their own people. They got to keep it kind of low key because the government kind of frowns on outright evangelism. Yes, they got their government churches and stuff, but they kind of frown on outright radical Christianity, so they got to keep it kind of low key. And Francis Chan says, the highlight was being with those people underground training to become missionaries. The way that they prayed, the way that they gave testimony about being persecuted and being taken advantage of was convicting and encouraging. And then he says this, the most surprising part of our time together was when they asked me about the church in America. Hear me now. He said, they laughed hysterically when I told them that your church in America tends to focus on buildings and that people here in America sometimes switch churches based on music or child care or preaching or disagreements with other believers. I honestly was not trying to be funny, but they laughed in utter disbelief at our church experience in America, thinking it is ridiculous they would even call ourselves Christians and behave like that. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Marie is going to go to Panama again this week, and she's going to go and visit with the indigenous people and be with them there. It was those same indigenous people that I showed you pictures here some time ago when Missionary Don was here. Some of them walked for 3 days to have training about Jesus. How many Americans are going to walk 3 days to be trained about Jesus? That's my point. That's my point in series 2 when I said we have grown lukewarm and everything else seems to take a priority for us in America but Jesus. He has called us to be followers of Him, not the world. And I could give you more examples. Christians from China that came to America and saw what was happening. And they said to us, why are you even talking about this? Christians that came from Africa and came to America and people that were in church Sunday morning, didn't go to church Sunday night, didn't go to pray, and they literally asked this, are they even Christians? You see how the outside of the world is looking at us and they're saying, what has happened to you in American Christianity? I don't know if you're hearing me today, friends, or not, but as I read about the church in America and the globe, and as I read the Word of God, I am asking myself today, what has happened to the church in America? I am asking myself, what has happened? Because what I see and discern and hear from other people and read about, something has happened, and it's not positive. When we are perfectly okay in America with lukewarm, and I will admit, we don't even recognize that. We're kind of like the proverbial frog. The water is heating up and we don't even recognize it. But when we are perfectly okay with lukewarm in America, and we are perfectly okay with saying we are Christians and we're not following Christ, something is wrong and something has changed. Dan gave me an email this week with a Navigator's devotional on it, and it said something like this. It was entitled Spiritual Leaking, using the analogy of the tire on your vehicle going soft and you don't even know it. Getting softer and softer and softer and we don't even recognize it. Friends, the people that are following Christ around the world recognize the lukewarm conditions that are happening in America of the church. They are recognizing this phenomenon, and I fear that too oftentimes either we don't recognize it or we don't care, one or the other. Francis Chan gets to his conclusion by saying this, and those of you world travelers like Dan and Marie have been to places around the world, and some of the rest of you have, probably understand this better than I do. Francis Chan understands this because he has lived all over the globe. Here's what he says, and I quote, "The majority of believers on this earth find it simply laughable that we could reduce the call to follow Christ and make disciples to an invitation to sit in a church service." End quote. You hear what he's saying? You see, we got 320 million people in America. We don't have the most Christians, okay? The most of the Christians are someplace else. And millions and tens of millions of these Christians are being persecuted, some of them unto death. They are willing to go to death because they are willing to follow Christ no matter what. And when they hear how we have church splits and we get mad at the music and we get mad at the preacher and we get mad at the daycare and we get mad at some other believer and we change church for this and we change churches for that and we worry about our structures, they think to themselves, that's not first century Christianity. And when we're having the discussion about sexuality and all the stuff that we do, the church around the world looks at America and they said, what are you even having that conversation? Is not this clear? And so Francis Chan says, because he has been among these believers around the globe, the majority of believers on the earth, they're not here in America, by the way, we're a small minority. The majority of believers on the earth find it simply laughable that we think just going to Sunday church once in a while is a call to Christianity, to follow Christ and to make disciples. That, brothers and sisters, is not following Jesus. Yes, we need to go to church. Yes, we need to worship. Yes, we need to bear each other's burdens and hold each other up and pray for one another and lay hands on heels. But if that's all we're doing, we're missing the point to follow Christ. Now, before I get to Scripture and time runs out, my point, we may only be one little old church here in one little old part of America, but the burden on my heart is that at least we can be aware of what Jesus expects. And at least when we call Jesus Lord, it will be revealed in our behavior, Monday through Saturday also. Who is Lord? You see, Francis Chan pegged it, and I shared this with you already when I talked about lukewarm. Way too often times, our title, or our job, or our 401k, or our stuff, our belongings, our toys, this continuous gathering of stuff, or our family, or our continuing pursuit for pleasure, that is what's Lord in our lives, not Jesus. Why do you call me Lord? Luke 6:46 says, and don't do what I say. That question must be asked of the church in America today. Why do you call yourself Christian and don't do a thing that I say? Now, may I throw in another statement of that Jesus said, Lord, Lord, to bring this together for today. It comes from Matthew 7, verse 21. If you've got your Bible, turn there. I want you to see what he says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 27. Thinking about the idea where Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Take that a step further now and see what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21 when he says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You start to see the comparison here, friends. I can call myself Christian all day long, all life long, and if I haven't lived for Jesus because I've been born again and filled with His Spirit and let His Spirit lead, we are going to come to the end. And here's what's going to happen. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he or she who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many, he says, many who thought they were Christians, many who thought everything was right with God, many who went to church on some regularity will say to me on that day, that is the judgment day. The writer of Hebrews says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Many, Jesus said, will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And we could say the same thing. Yeah, but I was baptized, I was confirmed, I went to church once in a while, I was better than my neighbor. We could come up with all kind of excuses. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So we ask ourselves, what makes the difference? Surrender to Christ. Surrender to Christ like the people in India who know it could mean everything, their home, their job, their family, their status, everything. Surrender to Christ like the people in China who are training up to tell others about Jesus. The people in North Korea who are willing to take their very life in their hands to tell one more prisoner, there's good news. There's good news, and I want to tell you about Jesus. It will mean death if they're found out. Friends, to call ourselves Christian in name means nothing unless we give our hearts to Him and follow Him. And so he says, many are going to say to me on that day, thinking everything was just right with me and God. Many are going to say, yeah, but Lord, yeah, but Lord, yeah, but Lord. And the only thing he's going to reply to them is, I never knew you. We never got to know each other. Yes, God knows who we are. But we never trusted Him with our lives. We never surrendered to Him completely. We were not willing to leave it all behind to follow Him. We wanted ourselves on the throne. We didn't want Christ there. And I'll say this to you again. I know I've said it 100 times already. I am not your judge, but I am called to sound the alarm in the 21st century church in America. And to those who don't know Christ and those who are not walking with Christ, I am called to sound the alarm and tell us again, time is going to run out. And if we haven't got serious with Christ, and I mean really serious, repent of sin, believe and receive Him, be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk with Him. Friends, we're going to get to this point and it's too late. We can argue all day long, I'm a Christian. But it goes back to what Glenn MacDonald said, and I've repeated it over and over and over. Our behavior should be example if we are Christian or not. And if the world is still dictating everything we do, then we better get on our knees before God again and repent again and invite Christ to come in and take control and start living for Him and following Jesus. I said this in the first or second sermon. He does not call us to be followers of the world. He calls us to be followers of Jesus. God is not fooling around with lukewarm. Did we not see that in the second week? Revelation chapter 3, the church at Laodicea. God is not fooling around with lukewarm folks. God knows who's pretending. God knows who are just fans sitting on the sideline watching the world go by, claiming to be Christian. God knows that. And it's time for American Christians to be followers of Christ, not followers of the world. And as I read this, Matthew 7, 21 and 22, I ask myself, could it be that many in America who say Jesus is Lord, that really He's not? We haven't got ourselves off the throne yet. We haven't got Jesus first. Could it be that we in the church are not making disciples because Jesus isn't Lord of the church after all? It is Jesus who made this very bold statement here in this passage, friends. On the day of judgment, there'll be those that thought everything was just fine, only to find out it wasn't fine at all. At that point, it's too late. Jesus gives us some very sound direction. I'm going to finish with that now. To make sure we don't end up in the category of "Depart from me, I never knew you." Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, he's just concluding in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If you don't know what's in there, I'd encourage you to read it today. Read it 2 or 3 times and realize what a follower of Jesus looks like. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus said, and does them. I'm not talking about working your way to heaven, and neither is Jesus. He's talking about being obedient to the call, come follow me. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock that is Jesus. But everyone hears what I've been saying. Everyone who hears what I've been saying, Jesus said, is like, and doesn't do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat on the house, and it fell, and great was that fall. Friends, listen to me. If it's not serious enough that the church says Jesus is Lord and we don't act like it, how serious is it when we say, well, I believe in God, and I'm pretty sure Jesus is Lord, and we get to this point in eternity, and he says to me, you, or anybody else, I don't know you. That's an eternal seriousness. Now let me say this, and I'm going to close and invite our praise team to come and sing that last song about grace again. Friends, God doesn't do lukewarm. We saw that from Scripture. God so desperately loves us. He sent His one and only Son. But to argue and get to judgment day and say, yeah, but God, I believed, I really believed you existed, it's going to come up short. I had people tell me just this week, yeah, but Jim, I believe in God. And I say, praise God, that's a great start. But what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? It was Jesus that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. What have you done with Jesus? Have you surrendered to Him? Have you repented of all sin? Are you living for Him? What have you done with the instructions of Jesus? And so I simply ask us today, friends, I pray for revival. I pray for revival for my own heart. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want the church to be lukewarm. I don't want the American church to be looked down on by the rest of the world Christian because we're out of touch with the New Testament. I pray for revival every day, for my heart, for ours, for the church. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, something has happened to the church in America. And it's not been positive. When we think we can have the world and be perfectly fine with Jesus, something has happened to the church in America. And it's not what Jesus is looking for. And so I ask ourselves as we sing this last song, praise team, will you please? Take a serious look at your heart today, friends. Have you confessed all sin? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior for you? Because we know we're a sinner who needs a Savior. Have you received him by faith? And are you willing to commit your life to him? Not just on Sunday morning, but no matter what he calls, no matter where he asks us to go, no matter what he asks us to get rid of in our lives, get rid of the clutter, no matter what we have to do to put him first, are you willing to follow Jesus? Because that's what he asks of us. And if you're not, I humbly ask you, please get right with God through faith in Christ and surrender completely. Don't let the tire of your life go flat and you missed it. Spiritual leaking. May that not happen in us. May it not happen in the church. Bow our heads to pray. You know I love you. And you know that I don't want you to miss the truth of Jesus. I don't want you to go through life thinking, well, I'm a pretty good person, or this or that or the other thing, and end up in that point that Jesus described in Matthew 7, 21 and 22, only to hear, depart from me, I don't know you. I don't want that to happen for us in this church, this city, this nation, or anybody else. God doesn't do lukewarm. You must be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and follow Jesus. And so if you're here today, friends, and you're not following the way you should be, he's touching your heart, he's speaking in your ear, surrender today. Commit your life to Christ, to follow Christ. If you want help with that, I'll be glad to. Please contact me, and I'll be glad to help with you. If you're here today, friends, and you just know it's time, I need to get right with God through faith in Christ. I need to follow Jesus. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, slip your hand up and down. Slip your hand up so I can see. You want to make that commitment to follow Christ, to make sure. Thank you. You may put them down. I'm going to pray with you and for you. Father God, thank you for your word that is clear. You love us. Your grace is available to us, but we have got to get ourselves out of the way. We have got to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that you've made it all possible by your Son, by your grace. If we will only surrender, if we'll only surrender to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for these that have raised their hand today. Fill them with your Spirit. Fill all of us with your Spirit. Yes, we're just a small church in a very large nation, but set us on fire with the Holy Spirit of God. Set your church in America on fire with the Holy Spirit of God. Help us no longer be complacent with lukewarmness. Help us no longer be led informed by the world, but help us to be led informed by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, because we have put our faith in the Son of God. Use us, O God, to bring you glory. Use the church in America as a beacon of light and a beacon of hope, not one that seems confused and out of step with you. Revive us, O God, I pray. Save us, transform us, revive us, and use us for your glory in this great nation and around the globe. Father God, speak to our hearts. I know you are. You're speaking to mine. Speak to our hearts in this church today and in your church all over this land. Convict us where conviction is necessary. Help us to get right with you. And when we haven't had you first, help us to get you first and follow Jesus and stop following the world. Oh, glorify your name in the church, oh God. Glorify your name here. Thank you, Father, for being with us this morning. Lead us today. Lead us this week. Lead us closer and closer and closer to you, so that when we close our eyes in death, we will know with certainty, because I have put my faith in the Son of God. I have walked with Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit. We will know, we will hear from Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. thank you, gracious God, for the hope and the promise that is ours in your Son and in your grace, I pray. Amen.